Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The third, the final, the best, the money hour. The Rob Brown Show goes now, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. This is ESPN Upstate live from the Ingles Market Studio. It's the Rob Brown Show. What is up, Upstate South Carolina? Hello, America. Hello, world. It is great to be with you once again. I am Rob Brown, the great one. Lonzo, hashtag dadkicks, Colonel Grudge, the alpha and the omega of ESPN Upstate, the content cash cow sitting directly across from me. And this is the hour that we want to hear from you guys on the phone line at 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. That's the phone number to get your voice heard on the air. You can also text us on the the Preferred Home Services text line at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN so we can read them on the air. Ross Dellinger is currently in Indianapolis. He is reporting on the meetings between the college football commissioners about the potential for playoff expansion. And here, you know what? I think we could give this glass, Lonzo. I think this is big enough to consider glass. I think. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say yes. This is good enough for that. Breaking news brought to you by our friends at BetQL. Smart bet start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Dellinger going on the record and saying that college football playoff commissioners could not reach unanimity.
There you go.
Unanimity.
That's the one.
Is that it?
Yes, I'm not doing it, but that's the one.
Unanimity.
I've heard it before.
This is the dumbest I've felt on the air since I moved here. Unanimity. I don't think I've ever seen that word put
way. I would like to apologize for, through osmosis, my difficulty with big words coming through or over the glass and affecting your brain. And, you know, I apologize. I'm sorry.
Unanimity.
It's unanimity, yes.
Learn something new every day. I'm here to make your life better and my own, ladies and gentlemen. College football playoff commissioners could not reach unanimity, according to Bob Bowlesby.
It doesn't sound right when you say it.
It doesn't.
I think you're stressing.
Leaning into it too much?
Yeah, you're doing something there.
CFP commissioners could not reach unanimity. Now I'm overthinking it. It's like, you ever thought about the word refrigerator? It's a weird word when you really think about it. Refrigerator. Unanimity.
So is restaurant.
Because
most people say restaurant.
Restaurant. CFP commissioners could not reach anonymous. I'm just changing the word now. Unanimous
decision.
Them
good old boys down there, or up there, they have no idea how to agree on something. There we go.
I am what the kids call, Lonzo, dumb. So there's that. Could not reach a unanimous decision, according to Bob Bowlesby, so there is no expansion decision right now. CFP commissioners, according to Dellinger, did vote. It was split, and then a report was submitted to CFP presidents. Bowlesby says he's very disappointed. He said, whether or not the contract will expand in 24 or 25. The potential for it to expand by 2024 or 2025 is dead. Bowlesby said, quote, practically, which means, ladies and gentlemen, that now, as of today, the earliest that we will see a college football playoff expanded past four teams would be 2026. Dellinger says that the meetings today and the results were expected, but that what college football has missed on here, Zoe, is what they roughly estimate to be about $450 million in additional revenue in 2024 and 25, as well as 16 extra playoff spots that would have been generated from a 12-team playoff in those 2 years, end quote. So Dellinger says that playoff expansion is dead once again for 2024. It is now dead for 2025, and that the best we can do at this point would be an expanded playoffs in 2026, and that's if they can agree to a system within the next year from now. Unanimity. That's what they have to get. They have to get unanimity.
So how long do you think it will take them to achieve unanimity?
I don't know, because, again, we talk about the $450 million worth of lost revenue for 24 and 25 not having expanded playoffs. Even the smaller conferences, see, here's the thing. The $450 mil is going to get split up amongst the teams that are in the playoff and the conferences that send them, right? So I saw somebody a minute ago on Twitter say, well, wait a minute. If we're talking about a half bill on the books that is now off the books, wouldn't turning that down hurt the smaller colleges and the smaller conferences, right? Wouldn't turning that down hurt them as much as it hurts the big schools? And the answer is no, because that money, of course, goes to the teams that are in the playoff and goes to the conferences that send teams to the playoffs. So this is why the big conferences want guaranteed AQs for their conference, right? They want five AQs for the five conference champions and one for or four for the big conference champions, and then the highest remaining conference champ, which in many years is going to be the fifth conference champion, and then split the rest up based on the whatever playoff rankings we're using. When we get to that point in college football's future, the small schools are going, wait, there's a half bill on the table every 2 years, and you guys are effectively locking us out of it. But by doing AQs, you are creating a situation where we'll be lucky to get one group of five team in, right? What if there's a year that you have a 2017 UCF and a 2021 Cincinnati Bearcats both inside that group? There's a good potential one of those two teams could get locked out, right? And so they're saying there's a half bill on the table. Here's the deal. We're either going to be given access to more of that, or we will keep scrapping this idea and prevent anybody from getting a slice of the 500 mil.
So this is not about the opportunity to have more people competing for a national championship. What you're saying is this is all about money.
Everything's all about money. Everything's all about money. Every decision made in college football is about money, right? Like, and I guess this is one of the reasons that I get frustrated with a lot of college football fans. Every decision made in college football is about the money, without a doubt. So, yes. The smaller conferences.
It's not about the fan bases. It's not about the players. It's about money.
You're adorable, Lonzo.
I already
You're
knew
absolutely
that, but I appreciate
adorable.
It. Yeah.
Bless your heart.
Next thing you're going to say is that we work in radio for money. I mean, come on.
I shall plead the fifth on the remainder of that conversation. Look, when it comes down to it, it is absolutely about money. The smaller conferences at this point are looking at this situation and they are saying, you are locking us out of getting a slice of that 500 mil. And that's 2 year total. So a quarter bill is what you're looking at every year. You're locking us out of a quarter bill a year, our share of a quarter bill a year, by basically meaning that in order to get into an expanded playoff, a team has to do what Cincinnati did. And the opportunities for that to happen just traditionally ain't there. Remember, Cincinnati was a yard away from being locked out of the playoffs. Oklahoma State scores a touchdown in that Big 12 championship game. I guarantee you Oklahoma State's going to the playoff and Cincinnati's getting locked out at number five. I guarantee it. So the best group of five season ever, ever, needed Oklahoma State to blow an end around the Big 12 championship and be a yard short of winning that game in order to get in. Which meant that Cincinnati would have dropped. They may still have snuck into the playoffs late. But if there was another group of five team out there, another group of five team out there that could have gotten in, they would have got bumped and likely would not have been in a 12. Which means that one team gets a 12th of that quarter bill that would have been spread out amongst the playoff teams and conferences. So they're saying, if you were going to lock us out from being any more than 1/12 of a slice of that pie, then we'll spit on the pie and won't nobody get a slice of it. And I'm not mad at them for it. It's a business decision in a big time business. I'm not mad at him for it. In your spot, you'd do the same thing, I suspect. Texas says ESPN, so a group of five wants to get paid to get embarrassed in the playoffs every year. First off, why are we acting like teams don't get paid to get embarrassed throughout the season every year? Do you think South Carolina State played at Clemson faux-free? Nope. Do you think that Georgia State's coming to Willie B next year to get throttled by 35 faux-free? Nope. When I was down in Florida, I can't tell you how many FSU and Alabama and Auburn games I got free tickets to that I didn't go because I didn't need to get Samford. I needed to watch Samford get beat by 55 by Nick Saban's guys or by Jimbo Fisher's guys. Do you think Samford is going to Tallahassee, Tuscaloosa, Opelika, and Baton Rouge faux-free? No. It's a money decision. We will let your guys kick our guys' asses for 60 minutes for, I don't know, $750,000?
Well, this doesn't make any sense because expansion is because more teams deserve to get in. Mm-hmm, it's not supposed to be about the money. It's about competition. It's about the fact that some teams are left out who could actually compete for a national championship, right?
Most definitely. It's definitely it. Definitely college football expansion because anybody believes that 5 through 12 would have had a chance at Bama or Georgia this year.
I do.
Of course you do. Couldn't get by number four, but you'd have got by number two.
I'm not the only one, though.
Yeah, you and all the other Buckeyes.
It's not just about Buckeyes. There are other teams in that, you know, window that you're talking about. I don't know who they are. I do know where the Buckeyes are.
Exactly. Point here is that, of course, it's about the money. And the fact that the group of five teams in the system that has been put forward so far are getting locked out of more than on their best years. One dozenth of the pie. They'll just stomp on the whole pie, right? I would rather ain't nobody at the table get a slice than us get a little slice and y'all get the rest. Of course, that's how it works out. So I don't know, man. I personally am fine with 4 AQs plus one and the other seven rounded out by the best teams. And we'll start getting into arguments about how do we determine what the other best teams are. I think we've got plenty of ways that all work, pros and cons. I'd be fine if we go back to a BCS ranking system, but still do the AQs plus one, four plus one. I don't care how we do it. Just get it done.
All right, I guess this is breaking news. The Broncos have requested permission to interview Cowboys DC Dan Quinn, sources say.
NFL teams, do y'all like...
Retreads.
Do y'all watch history? I mean, don't get me wrong. Dallas's defense has been great this year. But at what point are NFL teams going to learn that they're just some guys that are coordinators? And that's what they do. What's the, Lonzo, there's a kind of a joke name. What is it? The Peter Principle, I think. It's the Peter Principle that says that everybody gets promoted to one job more advanced than what they're best suited for, right? And I don't know if there's a more adequate way to describe head coaching searches in the NFL than the perfect illustration of the Peter Principle. Bill O'Brien's a great coordinator. He failed miserably as a head coach, blew the team up on his way out the door, and Jacksonville's like, hey, call that guy. Dan Quinn was in Atlanta. Atlanta was hot garbage during Dan Quinn's. He shows up in Dallas. He kills it as the defensive coordinator, and Denver's like, who cares that he sucked? Now, don't get me wrong. There are some head coaches so that in round two give it a shot.
You need to mention how good of a defensive coordinator he was before he became a head coach, because he was with Seattle, right? And that was a pretty good defense.
They were good. But there are just some guys who get promoted one spot ahead of where they're supposed to be. And the NFL, man, they love trying to be the one to prove the Peter Principle wrong, don't they? Again, there are some head coaches that get second chances and they turn into studs, but that's the exception, not the rule. All right, let's take a break. When Lonzo and I come back, we'll break down this college football national championship one more time again, and we will go on the record with our official projections of tonight's game, which you can hear live right here on ESPN Upstate. Back after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Texas says, Shane Beamer to the Carolina Panthers in 2023. Mark it down. I will not, sir. I will not. I doubt it. But, no, it's not happening. Not happening. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN. If you want to get on the air with us, you're welcome to. Preferred Home Services, text line 71307. We're going to talk college football. Before we do, I want to remind you that coming up this weekend and all the way through the Super Bowl, your home for all the NFL action is right here on ESPN Upstate. We will be carrying every playoff game, and we will be carrying exclusively the Super Bowl right here on ESPN Upstate, the only station who can even say the words Super Bowl, because we have it right here on ESPN Upstate. All right. We've gone back and forth about this game, Lonzo, the Georgia-Alabama National Championship game this evening. You have said a couple of times that you don't see any reason to believe that this game will turn out any differently than the last one, the SEC Championship game. History says the opposite. There have been four National Championship games, or de facto National Championship games, where there has been a rematch of two teams that played earlier in the season. And in all four games, the team that lost the first won the second, and convincingly so. Regardless of what the score in the first game was, in the second one, the team that lost the first one won. I believe the line is like 21. They've all won by 21 or better. Now, I don't see a blowout happening in this game either way, right? I don't think either team is blowing out the other in this game. In fact, I think it could end up being a decent game. Georgia's got to hope Alabama is off their game, though, which traditionally has not been the case for the Crimson Tide in the postseason. Lonzo, final score and why?
I'm going to go Alabama 34, Georgia 14. Just because Alabama is in Georgia's head, and I don't see them getting past that. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I would love to see Georgia win this game. I'd love to see Georgia make it competitive, but I think Alabama is at that level where they've been in the past, just like last year when they've won the championship, and I just don't see them losing.
I think Kirby Smart has one advantage that a lot of other teams that have faced Alabama at this point in the season don't have, right? And that's the fact that not only does he have tape on Nick Saban, but he's got tape with his team in it. He's got the glaring weaknesses that stuck out in the SEC championship game to look at, which most teams that have faced Alabama, with the exception of LSU, did not. Remember, when LSU fought Nick Saban, they had played earlier as well, and Alabama curb stomped LSU in that national championship game. LSU crossed the midfield, I think, one time in that game. The bad news for Kirby is that Nick Saban's got the exact same thing. And while there didn't appear to be a ton of weaknesses in that first game for the Crimson Tide, what few there were, Nick Saban knows. He's got him down. And there's a lot of folks who were saying, I don't understand why it is that Nick Saban is being treated as if he can take this situation and handle it better than Kirby Smart. Well, the reason is he has in the past. As Savannah pointed out earlier in last hour, right? Kirby Smart is 0-7. Georgia's 0-7 in their last seven against Alabama. There's dominance, and then there's dominance. What's Kansas City won 13 in a row against Denver at this point? I will put money on the Chiefs every time they go up against Denver until they lose a game. I got to have the same thing against Alabama here. First off, as a betting guy, seeing the line, and let me check and see where it's moved to. But as of
I was going to ask you what the line was because I'm curious about that.
It opened with Alabama as a 3.5-point dog. 3.5-point dog. That line, looking sportsbook to sportsbook, Lonzo, is averaged out to right at 3. All right, so there's a few books that have Alabama as plus 3.5. There's a few books that have moved them down to plus 2.5. Here's what's really surprising to me about this. And I don't know, maybe I'm going with my gut more than my brain. Maybe I'm missing something. The majority of the bets are for Alabama to cover the 3.5 that they're in the hole. But those that are betting on Georgia are doing so confidently. The majority of the bets have come in for Alabama, though, but the majority of the money is coming in on Georgia. That being said, there are fewer people betting on Georgia to be up for better, but those that are betting on Georgia are throwing a lot more money at it than the people betting on Alabama to cover up 3.5.
If someone gave you $1,000 right now and told you you had to bet one way or the other, whether...
Bama.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Bet you give me Bama and you're giving me points?
It's 3 points. Why is it so close after the last time they met?
I'm going to start with... Vegas doesn't care about narratives, right? Vegas doesn't care about narratives.
But it's not narrative. It's history. I mean, it's just a few weeks ago. We saw this matchup a few weeks ago. We saw what happened. How's that a narrative?
Well, you believe one of two things. You either believe that narratives matter or you believe any given Saturday, right? Isn't that what we all say? It's like every Sunday. Oh, any given Sunday. We named a movie after it. You either believe that narratives matter or you believe any given Saturday. Vegas subscribes to any given Saturday. Vegas doesn't care about narratives. That being said, I genuinely don't get this. I don't understand Georgia being favored in this game. Maybe because it's outside of the South, right? But Atlanta is dog's country. Atlanta's Georgia country. It was like 55-45. I'll give you this. I think Alabama travels better than Georgia. I'll see if that plays out tonight. I don't know if the crowd's going to be pro-red or pro-crimson. But Alabama travels as well, if not better, than anybody else in the country. I still don't know why they're underdogs. Like, and I am with you in this camp, Lonzo. After seeing what we saw 4 or 5 weeks ago, after seeing Nick Saban historically in the playoffs and championship games, I don't get why you are leaning Kirby Smart. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me.
You know, and I know it's been weeks, but technically that was 2 games ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been 4 weeks, but it's been 2 games. Not even. It's 1 game ago for Nick Saban. It's 1 game ago for Kirby Smart that these two got together. Now, here is one thing I think may have happened. Alabama, I thought, genuinely, was going to beat Cincinnati by about 35 points. I thought they were going to wreck Cincinnati. And the fact that they did not, I think might be playing into Vegas a little bit. But here's my thought on that, Zoe. Alabama, when they got into the third and the fourth quarter, they knew they had that game under control, right? Like, did anybody genuinely feel midway through the third quarter like Cincinnati was a threat to come back? Did you think they were a threat to come back?
No, but I also didn't think they belonged there. So there was that.
I did not think they were a threat to come back, like at all. I didn't think they were a threat to come back. And because I didn't think they were a threat to come back, and I don't think Nick Saban did either, I think Bama kind of took the foot off the gas a little bit, right? They started running the football. I mean, not that they weren't running the football in the first, but they weren't like aggressively running the football. They were attacking the old 3 yards in a cloud of dust mentality, and if we pop one, we pop one. I think Alabama let up on the accelerator against the Bearcats a little bit. And because they didn't blow them out by 35, Vegas went, oh, well, maybe Bama's not quite as good as we thought they were. Then again, I won a bunch of money that day because Bama, I got Bama at minus 13 and a half going into that game. And I ran with it. And I got the same feeling about tonight. Plus 3.5? Oh, I got money on Bama plus 3.5. I got money on Bama plus 3.5 because I've gone through every preview, every scouting report, every breakdown of this game that I can find, and I have yet to come up with a reason to believe that Alabama is genuinely the underdog in this game. But I look at where the money's coming in, and America feels differently. America feels differently. More bets coming in on the Crimson Tide, more money coming in on Georgia. Those that are betting Georgia are betting Georgia hard. Can anybody give me a reason that Alabama's the underdog in this game? Genuinely, I'm looking for a reason. Like, I don't have one. Texter on the Preferred Home Services text line at 71307 says, I would hammer Alabama tonight and shade it all the way up to Bama minus 6.5 if I could. Yeah. I took the 3.5. I took the 3.5. And I'm kind of at a point now where I'm wondering if I shouldn't have teased it out to like 5. If I shouldn't have teased it a little bit. I kind of wish I would have now. I'm almost talking myself into playing a second bet on this game to add a little more coin to it because it feels like a guarantee. I mean, I don't guarantee in sports, but this almost feels like a guarantee to me for recreational purposes only. Don't call me tomorrow and tell me, Rob, you cost me money. What would you be comfortable, Lonzo? Oh, you're not a gambling guy. But what would be the line that you would be comfortable giving to Georgia if you're Alabama here and still playing the game?
Coming out of my own pocket?
Yeah.
$50.
Throw $50 at Alabama minus 3.5.
Yes. I'm not going to, but
right,
yes.
Right. What would you say if I said Alabama minus 6.5? Would you take that bet still?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to people around Greenville, right? Talked to some folks at the Swamp Rabbits game last night. Talked to some folks yesterday afternoon at the Carolina Kickoff Show. And this is the conversation amongst my friends who put dollar bills y'all down on games. None of us can figure out why it is that Alabama's not just a dog, but the fact that you can get Bama minus 6.5, you can get them at minus 1. I mean, you can get them anywhere you want at this point. I don't get it. All right, let's take a break. I'll give you my official score prediction when we come back here in just a minute. And then Twitter trending topics to wrap it all up. It's Rob, it's Lonzo, you. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Your home for the college football playoff national championship game is right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, let's see here. Texter on the Preferred Home Services text line at 71307 says, do you think they did it because Vegas would make more on giving Georgia fans hope than Bama fans that will always pick Alabama either way from Joe and Greer? I don't know, man. And maybe. But I don't think there's a marked fan base between Alabama. I don't think there's a huge difference between the fan bases of Alabama and Georgia when it comes to gambling, right? Like, when it comes to betting, I don't think you have a huge, I could be wrong, I don't think you have a huge percentage of those two fan bases that would outweigh the bets you're getting. One of the things you got to remember is when you're talking about betting nationally, everybody's in on these games, right? It's an SEC game, it's a Southeastern game, but everybody's in on these games. Everybody. Alan says, Bama being underdogs makes no damn sense. Yeah, I completely agree with you, Alan. Completely agree with you. It makes no sense at all. I've been trying to figure this out since the line dropped last weekend, and I still haven't done it. And again, maybe this is the trap, but it feels like free money to me. Feels like free money. Texas says, Bama will copy the first matchup, go up-tempo, keep Georgia big fat guys on the field, run them sideline to sideline, and wear them down. That is spot on. We talked about that last week. Alabama knows where Georgia's strength is. It's across the defensive line. Georgia's big as hell at the front, at the front of attack. But what's the old saying, Lonzo? You can't hit what you can't catch, right? You'd be the biggest mamma jamma on the planet. But if my 40's a full second faster than you, it doesn't matter how bad you are because you can't touch me, Jack. And that's what Alabama did. They did it against Cincinnati. They did it against Georgia. Nick Saban, by the way, is 5-1. In games that he has been an underdog in, 5-1. The only underdog game he lost was all the way back in 2008 against Florida. And every other game, underdog against number 1 Georgia, number 8 Georgia, number 1 Florida, number 3 Georgia, and number 9 Clemson. Underdog in all those games. He's won every one of those games, 5-1, and every one of them he's won by double digits. I don't get the number. I don't get the number. By the way, Lonzo, you and I have always joked that what's the best way to get us to go do something?
Pay us?
Okay, what's the second best way? It's to tell us we can't, right?
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah. Lonzo and I have both
said, if you want to do them both at the same time, we're definitely for
that.
Yeah,
I'm down to be paid to do things you tell me I can't do. Then I'll definitely get it done. The best way to get me and Lonzo to do something that we don't want to do is to tell us we can't do it. That's what Alabama is, guys. That's what they are. And they're getting told, you're the underdogs. By the way, that line, ESPN's got that line down to 2.5 now. Georgia favored by 2.5.
What is going on?
I don't get it.
No.
I get it. You know what? I haven't broken out in a while. The free money alert.
See, I had it ready a couple times.
You should have just run with it. You should have just run with it. I think I've only done it. Actually, this is the first time in 2022 I've broken it out, ladies and gentlemen. First time in 2022 I've broken it out, but I'm going to break it out. It's here.
It's time for Twitter Trending Topics, where I tell Rob what is trending on the internet, including if you were on the live stream that goes on ESPN Upstate, the Facebook page and YouTube and stuff, you would have seen me ask Rob how to spell sommelier, and he nailed it.
Nailed it!
He did.
Stuck the landing, 10 of 10, 5 stars, would recommend.
All right, now what is a sommelier?
It's a wine steward. It's somebody who comes to you and suggests different wines to pair with your food and can tell you where they're from and what year they are and what they're made out of and what region they were grown in, et cetera,
et cetera. Like Reggie.
Like Reggie.
Okay, all right, all right. I get it now. Okay.
You know, it's just us 1%. It's a 1%er life.
That's why I'll...
It's a 1%er life.
I'll never be there, but that's okay. I'm not even going to live vicariously because I still don't get it. All right, so the first thing that's trending is Bob Saget.
Yes, Bob Saget, America's dad, has passed away, ladies and gentlemen. What was it? What was it, like 59, Sammy? One, but 60-ish years old.
He was 65.
Old. 65. Bob Saget was incredible because for so many years, we all knew him as Danny Tanner and that guy who hosted America's Funniest Home Videos. But kids, for those of you that are younger than Lonzo, some of you will remember, or most of you, sorry, will not remember, that back before YouTube, if you wanted to watch people fall down in funny situations, you watched America's Funniest Home Videos with Bob Saget once a week.
It actually still exists, but Alfonso Ribeiro is...
Yeah, Carlton hosts it now. But when Danny Tanner hosted it, it was something else. Because if you wanted funny cat videos, you went to AFV. That's what you had. There was no YouTube. But if you've ever watched Danny Tanner's stand-up, Bob Saget was one of the dirtiest, most hilariousest dudes to ever grab a mic and walk on stage. But here's the best part. He was dirty as it gets on stage, and you will not find anybody to say a crossword about the guy.
You know, back in, I think it was late 80s, maybe early 90s, when it was before all that, I saw a stand-up on one of the Young Comedians things on HBO, where they have like four or five guys come up and do a thing. And then seeing that and then seeing him be on television is like, okay, that's a different dude right there. Okay.
Bob Saget went from wholesome dad to the dirtiest old perv in the world. There was a scene with him in it in what's the Dave Chappelle movie? I'm totally blanking on it, but Dave Chappelle was in it where he I can't even describe it. Just go to YouTube and type in Bob Saget weed and you will laugh hysterically. Well, you won't. Don't watch it at work. It's amazing. Bob Saget was one of the best, and between him and Betty White, it's been a tough 2 weeks.
All right, we got time for one more. The last thing is Fresh Prince.
Yes, the Fresh Prince is trending because executive producer Will Smith has dropped a sequel show.
The trailer just dropped.
Well, I'll watch it afterwards. It's, for those of you who grew up watching The Fresh Prince like me, don't expect the same thing. This is more drama comedy than it is pure comedy like the old one was. Still going to give it a shot because Will Smith's good at his job. So I'm in. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Give me Alabama 32-21 over the Dogs tonight. We'll break the whole thing down tomorrow. Don't forget, you can listen to that game live right here on ESPN, as well as all the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl. We are your home for live football, baby. Nobody but us. It's ESPN Upstate. Later, brother.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.